Isn't this a sports show?
I'm self-serving.
Yes, you definitely are.
Almost entirely.
There are more pieces of evidence of that than that the dinosaurs ever existed. We have more sound clips of me being self-promoting than we have fossils in the fossil record.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have more evidence of me being self-serving than we have that the moon landing was a real thing. Like, we know that I'm self-serving.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I play enough fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for coming up on 10 years, which is completely bleeping bonkers. I've barely been potty trained for 10 years.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I'm dope. Quit listening. Unfollow me on Twitter.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Which team in the AFC wildcard round will make the Super Bowl? This is a question that was asked by the NFL on ESPN Twitter account a little earlier today. I just saw it moments before the show began. The options are the Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, and Kansas City Chiefs. The four teams playing in the NFC this weekend. And pictured above the names of these teams, for all four teams, is the quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor, Blake Bortles, Marcus Mariota, Patrick Mahomes.
What?
What do they know that we don't? I honestly do not know how this happened. Again, you can see it's at ESPN NFL on Twitter. This is the real thing. This is just a really strange mistake. Which team in the AFC wildcard round will make the Super Bowl? First, the answer is none of them. But it's just this little four pictures. Buffalo Bills, Tyrod Taylor. Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles. Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota. Kansas City Chiefs, Pat Mahomes. The funny thing is the Chiefs still probably have the best quarterback in this graphic. And it's not even their starter. Are you looking at the picture now, Beards?
No, I'm looking at the comment section of the picture. There's somebody that has posted a very confused Alex Smith gif.
I love that gif,
it's
yes.
It's really good.
Yes.
Why would you dummies use the backup QB for the Chiefs?
I saw somebody saying that ESPN's always pushing their agenda as if Pat Mahomes just ran as the Democratic nominee for president. Such a weird response. I thought this was hilarious.
Somebody has commented, "Hey, Alex Smith is our quarterback. Please fix this ASAP or I will boycott your site." Somebody responded to that. No, it's Pat Mahomes. He's a new QB. The original commenter said, "Fake news."
I love where we have gotten in 2018.
I will boycott your Twitter account.
With
ESPN NFL.
With online discourse. Yeah, we have evolved in many ways as a species, and we have devolved in many ways as well. What is that gif you're showing me, Beards?
It's a very sad Alex Smith in front of the Tom Brady jumping up and down super happy.
That's rude.
It's kind of funny.
There are lots of things we're going to talk about here today. Mostly Chiefs-Titans, especially at the front of the show here. I've found a bunch of things about the Tennessee Titans that you need to know about. I've also seen just enough of the Tennessee Titans this year to know that this needs to be a 10-point victory by the Chiefs. And we can also entertain the what if they lose. And that would be horrifying. It would be the beginning of 6 to 8 months of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think this team is losing to the Titans on Saturday. I've said this several times. Every time I say it, Beards marks it in the recording. So on the last week on for Monday, either I am going to be very, very wrong.
Either you'll hear this audio or you won't.
Or Beards will not acknowledge how right I was. 100%. But before we get to the various to all the specifics of the Titans, just as one more little reminder, and I'll remind you of this again after it happens, but before the season, I said the Chiefs would go 10-6, win a playoff game, and then lose to the Patriots or Steelers. I still think that's how this goes. Not just because I want my preseason prediction to be as right as my preseason Royals prediction was, but because, reevaluating now, I still think how that's how it's going to go. I think the Chiefs have a better chance now than they did in the preseason. I think that the Chiefs at their best have a better chance than I thought they would. Whenever this defense gets turnovers and whenever the offense is purring along, taking deep shots to Tyreek Hill, continually working with Travis Kelce, using Kareem Hunt appropriately, then you've got a team that can certainly beat any of these teams playing this weekend in the AFC. Maybe edge out the Patriots or Steelers. Well, I'm excited for these playoffs, and the Chiefs should be almost an afterthought this week. If this game comes down to the wire, I will be surprised. Because the Titans will win by 40 after everything that I've said about this game. But here are some things. If you're not with me yet, if you're still nervous, come with me on a little journey to some things you need to learn about the Tennessee Titans. Beards, do we have any music for a magical journey?
I was just thinking that. I don't know.
Do we have like a little like wizard spell being cast?
I will do some research. I'll get some audio soon, and it'll just kind of bleed in.
We'll just join. Sure, we can just join in. That's when you'll know the magic has happened. The Titans were 9-7 this year, and they were 9-7 this year, finishing second place in a division with 2 4-win teams. The Jags ended up with 10 wins in the division, the Titans with 9 in the wild card. The Colts and Texans each had 4 wins. This is a division ripe for a below-average team to get a wild card berth. That's how this was set up to play out. They ended their last. They ended the last 4 games of this year 1-3. They did, though, beat the Jags last week 15-10. So the end of their season on a victory. That didn't really matter. And it's a team that I don't think you can understate their mediocrity. Listen to this. Listen to these things and tell me that you're worried about the Chiefs. No DeMarco Murray this week. Derrick Henry is going to get all the work. I'm not sure that's a bad thing for the Titans. Derrick Henry has been the better running back, but you at least don't have your Spencer Ware. The problem with the Titans, they get caught up in the usage of those guys. It gets unbalanced. They would be better off with DeMarco Murray, but Derrick Henry can handle the load. You worried about the run game? Because this is the thing that you'd be worried about, right? I go, oh, well, Derrick Henry's very good. Maybe you have some worries about Delanie Walker, their tight end. He's the only other guy in this offense that you've heard of. It's okay, okay, well, are they able to deal with this running game? They will be able to, and I will show you why right now. This season, the Titans averaged 3.1 yards per rush by the running back on runs inside the tackles. Second worst in the NFL, behind only the Lions. No back with 100 interior rushes averaged fewer yards per rush inside the tackles than DeMarco Murray with 3.0 yards per carry. And Derrick Henry's 3.1 yards per carry on those runs was third worst. The Titans were hilariously bad at running the ball between the tackles, which is where you would like to predominantly be able to run the ball. So what do you do defensively? Against four or fewer rushers, Marcus Mariota has averaged shorter throws, completed fewer of them, and averaged over a full yard less per attempt compared to last year. Mariota ranked 28th in touchdown-to-interception ratio against a standard rush, trailing only Mitchell Trubisky, C.J. Beathard, DeShone Kizer, and Brett Hundley. Bob Sutton has shown his weaknesses this year, but I promise you, he is going to deal with that just fine. Mariota struggles whenever there are seven or eight guys not rushing him. I don't expect the Chiefs to be trying to rattle him like you rattle most young quarterbacks. Because against Mariota, we've seen him, again, struggle against busy secondaries. He struggled against a wealth of defensive backs. Also, the running game is ineffective between the tackles. So what do? You hold your front seven back. You rush three or four. You don't have to worry too much about the middle of the field with the rush with the running game, because the Titans are going to be outmatched by you. Devote a little more attention to the outsides. Don't worry about getting too deep into Marcus Mariota's pocket. He'll get nervous. He'll check it down. He'll take a sack. This blueprint for the Chiefs defensively is so clear here. If the Chiefs do get beat by the Titans running game, it's going to be because of terrible mismanagement and a incredible lack of understanding of what they needed to do in this game. More things about this team worry you? You are maybe worried about Marcus Mariota? He has 11 interceptions on the road this year. That's tied for most in the NFL. And here's something from ESPN and ESPN's Football Power Index that I think will give you a really good kickstart on the direction you're headed with this Titans team. ESPN's FPI rates the Titans as 2.2 points worse than an average team on a neutral field, 19th in the NFL, and one of two playoff teams rated as below average. The Bills are 4.4 points below average. Notable non-playoff teams with a higher FPI rating than the Titans includes the 6-10 Raiders, the 5-11 Buccaneers, and the 7-9 Washington Racial Slurs. The Titans are 5-1 when the Tennessee defense has multiple takeaways in a game, and 4-6 when they don't. The Chiefs had 11 turnovers this season, fewest in the NFL. And I think like half of those came last week. That's not true. That's an exaggeration, but my point stands. The Titans are just set up for 1,000 ways for this Chiefs team to beat them. Truly. If the Titans would have been in the AFC West, they would have been in the mire of all of it. They would have lost games to the Chargers and Raiders and probably lost one of the Broncos as well. This is not a team that has the juice. They just don't have it. I am looking forward to the game, and I'm expecting the Chiefs to win, and I'm expecting that to be a fun way to go about it. This is the first time, though, that I was pretty confident in the Chiefs-Texans playoff game they actually won. Games they actually won, because the Texans. Maybe I just don't respect the AFC South without Andrew Luck. Maybe that's it. And that's true. Because I'm also not really afraid of the Jags. Because Blake Bortles is not going to win two playoff games. They'll probably beat the Bills. The AFC Championship game is going to be Steelers-Patriots, though. And honestly, I think the Chiefs have the next best chance out of these teams. If I could guarantee that we would get the Alex Smith of earlier this season, then they would maybe have you know, a legitimate chance. But, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. Beard says he has magical wizard music now. Bring it in, Beard.
Well, it's not. It's less magical wizard music and more just like kind of medieval-ish, fantasy-ish music.
I don't think so. Is this The Cure? What do you mean? Okay, I get a little bit. Okay, now, I feel like we're.
It's too late.
We're talking about war plans, Lord of the Rings now.
Moment's gone.
Yeah, we did. We did definitely miss it.
If only this computer was 10 years younger.
That computer might be older than I am.
A computer might be like from World War II.
This was used. Actually, we're using the first computer. This should be sent to a museum. All of the computers that are in this studio and control room are artifacts.
Ugh, antiques, that's an understatement.
Antiques. They belong at the roadshow.
They're prototypes, literally.
I just cannot be brought to fear the Titans. Anyway, we'll talk to Jimmy Morris of SB Nation's Titans blog, Music City Miracles, here in a few minutes, and I'll give him a chance to tell me why I'm wrong. But this just doesn't seem like a very good team to me. Also, as I was preparing some things I wanted to talk to Jimmy about, I had a moment of, is the Titans head coach still Mike Mularkey? And it is. I just don't know one solitary thing about Mike Mularkey. I did some light reading today to know that there are people who are unhappy with his performance this year. But not only is this team not doing much for me, this might be the most nondescript team in football. Seriously. I said that and then Beards like furrowed his brow.
This is something else. Nothing related to you.
Okay, I assume you were listening to the show. Sorry.
I mean, I was, but it wasn't. That's not what I was throwing my brow at. It was these computers.
Well, that's also fair. But seriously, like even the bad, not the worst team in football by any stretch, but the bad teams have an identity. The Titans' identity is, aren't they still trying to make DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry like a two-headed monster kind of thing? Is that still happening? Yeah. Oh, okay. Marcus Mariota's there. I know that. What's he doing? Not much. Okay. Who's their head coach? Mike Mularkey? Yeah? Oh, interesting. How's their defense? I don't know. Really, I don't know. There's certainly not another playoff team that kind of nondescript. Their leading receiver is Delanie Walker. I'm guessing by a lot. Let's double check. Delanie Walker leads this team in receiving yards with 807. Rishard Matthews has nearly 800 yards. My apologies to Rishard Matthews. Eric Decker. Corey Davis.
Is that where Eric Decker is now?
Yeah, Eric Decker's in Tennessee.
Wow.
You're forgiven for not knowing that, because who cares?
I thought he was a Jet.
He hasn't been a Jet in a while, right?
Oof.
Rishard Matthews was a 7th-round pick in 2012, and he's had some success. I'm not here to scorch Rishard Matthews, but he's our second leading receiver, and he finished the season with 1 reception for 7 yards against the Jags and 2 receptions for 48 yards against the Rams and 6 for 95 against the Niners, 3 for 19 against the Cardinals. He had over 100 yards in a blowout loss to the Steelers that Thursday night game where it was never even close. I'm just honestly, I'm looking for places to fear this team. Looking for reasons that I shouldn't be so confident. Derek Morgan has 7.5 sacks, and Brian Arakpo has 7. Couple of pass rushers. That's my Titans, my official Titans preview. All right, here's the Almost Entirely Sports Titans official preview. We'll get more useful information from Jimmy Morris of Music City Miracles here in just a second. Beards has now been like doing things on a computer for a while. And I'm like, I was going to throw it a break even, but you were very like into whatever it was you were working on.
I'm working on something. It'll show up later.
Okay. That's unnerving.
You and I will appreciate it. I don't know how much everybody else will.
Wow. Save that for posterity. Almost entirely sports. You and I will enjoy it. I'm not sure if anybody else will.
I mean, that's all that matters, right?
Put that on the show's gravestone, whatever that is. Like, well, listen.
Almost entirely sports. We don't care about our fans.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that show was on for, what, a few months? Yeah, what happened? Oh, they were having a good time, but literally no one else liked it. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that'd do it. All right, well, while Beards is being distracted, we stumbled into the show's new slogan. That counts for something. We'll learn about the Titans next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs or the Royals, and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. I think we've learned some things together about the Titans so far today. It's that no one really knows exactly what a Titan is. Not as in, like, the mythical creature. We're all pretty good on that one. But, like, what is a Mike Mularkey? Now, we are going to amend this problem of not being able to identify a wild Mularkey with Jimmy Morris of SB Nation's Titans blog, Music City Miracles. You can read everything that they have there at musiccitymiracles.com, at TitansMCM on Twitter, and Jimmy is at JMorrisMCM. Okay, Jimmy, we've been trying to figure it out here. What exactly is a Mike Mularkey?
That's a really good question, and you know, there are a lot of fans that hoping that we won't have to answer that question next year.
Really? Okay.
But yeah, so there was a report early Sunday morning before the Jaguar game in Week 17 that if the Titans didn't win that game, then Walker was going to get fired. And so, I mean, I don't know how much changes just by getting in the playoffs if they go to Kansas City and, you know, get boat raced on Saturday. I'm not sure that. If that report were true, that it wouldn't still hold up. We'll just have to wait and see. But this offense has been bad. Mariota has progressed. We can talk about all that stuff. But that's kind of what the fan base is pretty much split on, oddly enough, whether or not they wanted to win last week because they thought a loss would get a new coaching staff.
That's really interesting. But I also make sense because that's one of the things that I've realized here this week as I've been reading up on the Titans is I knew that Marcus Mariota was supposed to be a really fun, interesting young quarterback on the come up, and this year he's just fallen off the face of the planet. So where are we now with Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, it's been brutal to watch. I mean, he's had injuries. You know, he had the broken fibula last year in Week 16,
right?
So which caused him to miss the majority of the offseason program. He was back for training camp, but you know, I think he had some issues with that early. I think he was compensating just for the injury and that kind of stuff. You can see how he didn't step in the pros sometimes and stuff like that if you go back and watch him. He got a hamstring injury in the first game against the Texans, so that kind of kept him out against the Dolphins, and then he was, you know, pretty severely limited for a couple of weeks. I mean, there's been some of that stuff too, but you can see when you watch the games, he doesn't feel comfortable in this offense. He doesn't feel comfortable with the play calls. He doesn't feel comfortable in the pocket. If you watch games, I mean, y'all saw him last year against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you go back and watch, you know, if you pick four games from last year and watch, and then pick any four games from this year, the last couple is he's been a little bit better, but it doesn't even look like the same guy. I mean, it's amazing. And so I think part of it's the offense. I think part of it is injury stuff. I think it's a new group of receivers. All of those things kind of combined, but it's been a rough year for him.
Is the feeling, and not just for throughout the fan base, but yours specifically, is the feeling on Mariota that it's a bad situation, that you want to give him another situation to try to thrive in? Or if there is a house cleaning, Do you think that that new administration would be looking at potentially bringing in another quarterback of the future to build around?
No, he's a guy. He's a guy. Okay. I've got absolutely no reservations about that. I mean, like I said, you go back and watch last year. I mean, he's really good. He's really good. He can throw in the pocket. He's good, obviously, on the run with his legs. And they, he's really been trying to learn some of that stuff this year, just to keep him from getting hurt. So, I mean, that makes sense. But last year he would improvise and do stuff like that. And he hasn't been the same guy this year. But yeah, overall, I mean, if you're asking the question, do I think he's the guy that can take this team, to the next level, Super Bowl contender, I absolutely do think that he'll be the guy.
There was an interesting stat that I saw today that was against four or fewer rushers, Mariota's averaged shorter throws, completed fewer of them, and averaged a full yard less per attempt compared to last year, and that he's 28th in touchdown interception ratio against a standard rush in the entire league this year. It seems like if I was in Bob Sutton's shoes, defense coordinator for the Chiefs, I would be preparing to just give Mariota three or four rushers, drop a bunch of defensive backs in coverage, and dare Mariota to make some of those throws into tight windows. Is that something that you've seen Mariota struggle with this year specifically?
Yeah, it is. And again, it's weird because that was not an issue before. And if you go back and look at his number from last year, if you look at like his red zone efficiency, he's never going to pick in the red zone. And, that's when the windows are tighter than anywhere else and all that stuff. And I mean, last year, he was unbelievable down there. This year, for whatever reason, he's not seeing it right. And I don't know. I think it's a combination of a few things. But, yeah, he has definitely been really good when he's been pressured this year. If you look at the PFF stuff, I mean, he's been, top five in the league against pressure. And then, like you said, not as good when he's got time to sit back there and find the guy. So, yeah, I mean, I think that would be how I would attack him because then, too, you have less of the threat of him breaking the pocket and being able to, break off the run.
We know about Delanie Walker. He's, he's been around for 100,000 years at this point, it feels like, always in the conversation of one of those top five NFL tight ends. But I'm curious about Rishard Matthews. Is he actually a guy that can continually make plays, or is he just the number one receiver on a team that doesn't have better options?
A little bit of both. I think he's better than what he was getting credit for early in his career. He's better than what I thought the Titans were getting when they signed him before last year. But, I mean, if he's your number one option, it probably speaks more to the overall group than it does to him. Because, you should be able to have a guy that's better than him. They drafted Corey Davis 5th overall, hoping that he would be the number one option. It hasn't come to fruition. Again, injuries, offenses. Stupid. I mean, all that kind of stuff. So it hasn't worked out that way. But Rishard Matthews has definitely been their most consistent producer. And I mean, he's a very good number two option, but he is the number one option for this team.
The running game is pretty interesting, or at least it has been from the outside. But there's no DeMarco Murray this week. Derrick Henry is going to be the guy that gets all the work. He's leading the team in rushing anyway. But can you give us a little bit of insight on what that split had looked like this year and then how you expect Henry to take on the full load this week?
Yeah, I mean, so early in the year, it was like 60-40 DeMarco. Mm-hmm. And then at somewhere around the middle of the year, it kind of pulled even for a couple of games. And then all of a sudden, they went back to like 70-30 DeMarco. It was kind of a weird deal. And Milwaukee has some love for DeMarco Murray. Now, we saw last week, everybody was really thankful of this staff, of not getting Derrick Henry on the field more, talking about giving DeMarco Murray so many snaps. Last week, Derrick Henry goes the wrong way on one play, runs into Mariota fumbles, Jaguars return for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Another play like three plays later where Henry just goes the wrong way. Mariota turns around and hands the ball. He's not there. So, I mean, from that standpoint, the coaches got, a little bit of a, validation from some of the times that they had DeMarco Murray out there instead of Derrick Henry. Now, there was no reason for them to continue to give DeMarco Murray carries because he didn't have it this year. Injuries, I think, just all the carries that he's had in his career catching up with him, those types of things. Derrick Henry last week had a rough game. I mean, he had the long screen pass for a touchdown. But other than that, he averaged 1.8 yards per carry. He had a carry go for negative 12 because he tried to bounce it outside and tried to run around and got a big loss. He talked this week about how he felt like he ran soft in that game. He didn't run like a featured running back. Mularkey talked about, having a conversation with him about, look, if there's not anything there, plant your foot, lower your shoulder,
go get what you can. Don't turn it into a big loss. So I think we'll see a little bit more of a motivated Derrick Henry this week. I think he'll run a little bit harder. He's a funny guy because he's huge. I mean, you've seen him. He's a huge back. Yeah. But he hasn't really run to his side.
Right.
I mean, I think if you watch him and Kareem Hunt, you would think Kareem Hunt he's got like 30 pounds on him.
Right, yeah. No,
so he's not necessarily – he doesn't necessarily run to his size, but, I mean, he's a good running back. And if he gets free, if he's really, really fast, he has a little bit of trouble getting up the top speed.
One other thing I found with the running game I thought was interesting is that the Titans are averaging 3.1 yards per rush on runs inside the tackles, which is second worst in the NFL. This running game and Derrick Henry seem to be like a place where there might be a little bit of room for some playmaking on this offense, but what's the state of the offensive line if that stat is true?
Yeah, the interior line has not been as good as it was last year. You know, and now Quentin Spain, who is one of the guards, came up with an injury report today with a lower back issue. Hopefully he'll be able to go. They've got a serviceable backup behind him, the Brian Schwenke, but it's a drop-off from one guy to the other. So, you know, hopefully he'll be able to go. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of the positions they're going to have to upgrade this offseason. Probably maybe both guards, but definitely at least one of them. They haven't been as good this year as they were last year. I don't really know what the reason for that is. I mean, the line as a whole hasn't been as good. I mean, it's the same group of guys. It's kind of strange the way that they've regressed, but it's been an issue, and that's, you know, been why, I mean, if you look at the Titans, if you just look at their raw, you know, rushing yardage numbers, they're pretty good. I mean, it's because they run the ball so much. Right. They haven't been very efficient when they've tried to, you know, just line up and run downhill, which is, you know, exotic smash mouth, right? That's what they want to do, but it just hadn't played out that way this year.
Talking to Jimmy Morris of Music City Miracles. You can go to musiccitymiracles.com to read all that stuff there. At Titans MCM on Twitter. Jimmy's at JMorrisMCM. Jimmy, we'll get you out of here with two more things. First of all, what do you think happens on Saturday?
I think it's a good game. I think it's better than what most national media people will think. You know, I have a little bit of confidence in the Titans defense at this point. Not that I think they're going to shut the Chiefs offense down or anything like that. But I think they can hold up well enough to keep it a close game. So, I mean, I'm expecting something like 24-17. But the Titans are going to do their best to have the game script play out where they can hand it to Derrick Henry 30 times, keep the Chiefs offense on the sideline, control the clock, and win. I mean, they'd love to win 3-0. I mean, I don't think anything would make Mike Mularkey happier than that. But I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, how much they're going to be able to sustain drives against the Chiefs, and we know about how good their defense has been, especially at home. So, I mean, that's the game plan that they'll come in with, but I don't necessarily expect them to be able to do that. I think I've been saying all week, I'm like 24-17 Chiefs.
Well, my next question was going to be, if the Titans do win, what will have transpired? And you said it would be a 3-0 type of game, and I got to tell you, I feel horrible for you. You have a head coach who wants to win games 3-0. That sounds like pain.
Oh, it is brutal. It's brutal. And like I said, I mean, you would not believe. I mean, it's been 9 years since this team has been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there was a large segment of the fan base last week that wanted them to lose, hoping that it would result in a coaching change. I mean, that's how bad it's been. So, you know, the offense is just – it's not an offense from, you know, these modern times in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were like that last year too, but – I don't know. It's like they've gone even more that direction this year, and it just hasn't. Last year they were effective, and you know Mariota had good numbers and all that stuff, but it hadn't worked out the same way this year.
Well, I do for your sanity. I hope you end up with a new head coach next year, but I got to tell you, stay the hell away from Matt Nagy. He's staying here. You're not allowed to interview Matt Nagy. I'm putting you out to pasture on that. Fine, go get somebody else.
Yeah,
go hire Jim Schwartz. That's yeah. Go take Jim Schwartz.
He was here before. I like Jim Schwartz, but I don't understand. If they do something different, they'll go after an offensive guy. I don't know if it's Nagy. You know, John Robinson signed GM, has ties in New England. So if Josh McDaniels doesn't get hired between now and next week,
yeah,
I think that would be a call he'd make. So anyway.
All right, Jimmy. Thanks for the time, and good luck on Saturday. Not too much good luck, though.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's Jimmy Morris of SB Nation's Titans blog, Music City Miracles, musiccitymiracles.com, at Titans MCM on Twitter. Follow Jimmy at JMorrisMCM. That's interesting, man. It's interesting that that this is a team so tortured by being left out of the playoffs, even in that place, even being playoff free for so long. I think the last playoff victory was in 2003. Still weren't totally sure they wanted to be stuck with another year of Mike Mularkey. Like the sentence, the phrase that Jimmy just used there was, again, if you missed it, if they win the game, they would love to win 3-0. I'm not sure anything would make Mike Mularkey happier. Ugh. I dry heaved a little bit whenever I heard that. That just sounds like such pure, pure pain. Also, PTI has a Porygon set now.
It's blending in with the penguins, I see.
Yes, which is perfect. Yeah, back on the little penguin table, they have a Porg. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this. I got my mom gave me one of the Porgs with suction cup wings.
I didn't know this.
Yes. And I was thinking I could bring it in and put it on the wall.
No, stick it on the...
But I just thought of this whenever I saw it today. I got to put it on the big window thing behind us. I don't really want to bring it in every day.
No, you just leave it there. It has suction cups.
But it's going to get, like, dusty, and eventually someone's going to steal it. I might buy another one.
I mean, that's not an issue.
That's a expense
all
I'm willing...
All that ESPN Kansas City money that we're making.
That's an expense I'm willing to consume. I would love, though, to just add a Porg, like, I don't know, every 3 days, till eventually it's just like, wait a second, I saw the show in December, there were no Porgs, and now it's March, and the studio is filled with them. I think that's where this show evolves to.
In July, Josh is wearing a Porg costume.
What's a costume?
I don't know. Is that like a costume? I don't know how it came out that way.
Is that like a bovine costume?
Yeah.
A costume?
Yeah.
I would love to do the show in a giant Porg costume, though. That would also be hysterical. I would not reference it for a single moment. I would do the entire show just as is.
It would be a completely Facebook Live joke.
Yes. Oh, 12 people would be having the time of their lives watching that. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, I think we're going to get the liner that Beard spent the first 40 minutes of the show working on. He just raised his eyebrows at me like he did on the show yesterday, and I hate that. And then we'll come back, and I'll spend more time feeling sad for Titans fans because their head coach is a terrible curmudgeon who hates fun and vertical passing games and is slowly killing Marcus Mariota. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
With Joshua Briscoe.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I owe you an explanation. That was a good bit of a PSA. Here's a peek behind the curtain. Let Beards and I part the kimono for you. In radio, you have national breaks and local breaks, and sometimes they kind of blend into each other, etc. But let's say for KU games, during KU games, they have breaks where whenever it goes to commercial, we don't hit any buttons here. And then sometimes we do hit the buttons, and we play our own local commercials. So far, so good? You with me? Okay. Well, whenever we're supposed to play our local commercials, they don't just leave silence in case, you know, somebody doesn't hit the button on time or whatever. So instead of silence, most of the time, NBC Sports Radio does this, ESPN Radio does this.
ESPN does it with their own stuff, though.
Their own promos. But so, like, in NBC Sports Radio will play PSAs, public service announcements, that will run in kind of the void. And they're not supposed to really hit the air, but sometimes they do.
Yeah.
One of those PSAs, usually the PSAs are just terrible. I mean, there's nothing redeeming about them. It's like, okay, great, don't, like, buckle your kid into the car, you know, don't, go play outside, kids. Go play outside, kids.
There's, like, the asthma smoking one or whatever.
Oh, that was the worst.
The singing one, yeah.
But there's, do you have the PSA that we're discussing?
Yes,
that you,
I have the whole thing.
How long is the whole thing?
30 seconds.
Okay, well, so there's a PSA about going outside, essentially.
The forest.
the forest.
There's a series of forest ads. This
yes,
is the best one.
But only one of them matters. And in fact, there's only one PSA that I've ever heard, I think, that has made me gasp with joy and then cackle with laughter. And then the other thing about it is that Beards does a killer banana slug impression. Go ahead and we're going to pause 30 seconds here for a public service announcement on behalf of the forest.
We'll go back and your sense of adventure.
And your sense of adventure. We'll talk about Mike Mularkey in a little bit. Probably not. But listen to this PSA and then get emotionally prepared for Beards to do his killer banana slug impression after the PSA.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom! Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Okay, that's the PSA.
In all its glory.
In all of its glory. But Beards does a killer banana slug. Beards, please share.
I'm a banana slug, Steven. I'm your sense of adventure.
Can you do I'm a slug, it took me a long time to get here?
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
First of all, it's the only time I've ever heard Beards do an impression.
I'm a banana slug.
Second, I think it's better than the actual slug in the commercial. And it just makes me infinitely happy.
All due respect to the original banana slug.
Yeah, all due respect to Steven. Or no, that's the kid. Dang it.
He's just a yellow booger.
Also, we figured out today, because we were talking about this before the show, if you just type I'm a banana slug into Google, it will autofill to I'm a banana slug, Steven. Because people like this ad has a rich canonical history. The PSA for this PSA on YouTube has 8,782 views. The comment section is also very rich. What was the website I was supposed to go to? It was like discovertheforest.org?
Something like that, yeah, I think.
I'm going to go to discovertheforest.org, and if there's not a banana slug on here, I'm going to leave the site again immediately. Yeah, I mean, the website is fine.
No banana slug?
I don't see any banana slugs yet, though. I'm still scrolling through the homepage. No. Just nothing. Hold on, let me go to Control F. Bananas, nothing. They don't know their own own best spokesman.
The equivalent of the Geico Gecko.
I mean, yeah, like this.
But better, obviously.
But 100% better. This should be transformative for the Discover the Forest movement. Also, I have searched my own zip code to see to map my results. What kind of forests are around me?
Does the banana slug make guest tours?
Yeah, like I would go out. I would like to meet this banana slug. If the banana slug would take me on a tour,
you get a bunch of people wearing banana slug costumes.
Oh my goodness, yes. Okay, so we're gonna continue to build this fictional set that we don't actually have. Lots of porg stuff, lots of penguin stuff.
One banana slug.
Do we call the banana slug Steven?
Well, no. What we do is we have a little speech bubble built into it that says, I'm a banana slug, Steven.
That's good.
Because otherwise people are just going to look and they go, ooh, what's that, a gross yellow booger?
Is that a yellow booger? I also think that maybe we've been hearing it wrong this whole time. Maybe he's saying, I'm a banana slug, Steven. As in...
Is that like a new species of banana slug, the Steven?
No, I think he's saying, I'm a banana slug named Steven. But he's a slug, so he's not great at grammar.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. Now, but we have a pretty well-spoken banana slug in this commercial, just a little kind of wet in the mouth. And don't mark that.
Too late.
Dang it. But maybe he's not great at grammar. That, again, makes sense. Evolution is not in his favor. He's a banana slug.
Steven.
Was that our most self-involved segment we've ever done?
We explained it.
We did.
We explained it and played the source material. It might have been the most confusing liner we've ever done. But
oh, no, completely.
Are you kidding, though? Did you hear yesterday's show?
Oh, jeez.
Yesterday's show was just about how sick I've been. I was like, I feel better today.
Almost entirely not sports.
Yeah, yesterday's show was crazy. Yesterday's show was the buffer between Mahomes Day and Chiefs preview days, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It wasn't on purpose. It just happened that way. Again, I was sick. I had no energy to talk about sports. I wanted to just complain. I can't believe Charlie took my Rice Krispie treat. I was ill. I got through the show and then immediately took a field trip to the bathroom. I do feel better today, though. I've also been... So I was... here's the problem with me complaining about how bad I felt. I was complaining about how bad I felt, and my mom messaged me after the show. She's like, you need to go get the charcoal capsules. And apparently it's like, it's called activated charcoal. It's just, I don't know, it's these black little capsules, and you take them, and supposedly they suck the toxins out of your body or whatever. I don't know how they work or if they work, but my mom believes in them. She's like, you need to go get them. You need to go get them. And I was like, man, I didn't see her that she said that. She didn't message me until after I got home. I was not going to go back out into my frozen car.
Yeah, it's a little cold.
At whatever, 8 o'clock, and then drive to Walmart to try to find these magical little charcoal tablets. But eventually I cracked, and so I did. And I got them, and I got some food, and I just started. I've taken 47 pounds of charcoal since I got them yesterday.
A little flammable then, aren't you?
I feel better, but I feel much more flammable, for sure. If I, shuffle my feet around the carpet and then touch a doorknob, I will explode. Literally. And I will literally explode in a ball of flames. But my tummy hurts less, so it's all even. It's all worth it. By the way, again, tomorrow, Menards,
The blooper reel?
The blooper reel again at some point in today's show.
Yeah, I can pull that back up.
You'll hear me explain this in the promos that we'll play during some of these commercial breaks. We'll play the blooper reel later. But tomorrow I'm going to be out at Menards in Olathe from 4 to 6 doing the show live. If you're in the area, you want to come say hi, come by and say hi. And if not, you know, we tried.
Or just come save big money.
You can come save big money at Menards. And get wiper fluid, I guess. I mean, I need to get some windshield wiper fluid. And you know where I'm going to do it? Menards, tomorrow from 4 to 6. I'll be there anyway.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You ever wonder what it sounds like for 4 tickets to hit a microphone? It was
no, but I know now.
It's very sonically pleasing, if I'm being honest.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
That was the worst 10 seconds of radio we've ever produced.
It's one of my favorite liners, too.
There's a lot going on with the NFL in head coaching. These are things that we were planning on talking about on Tuesday.
We were going to talk about everything on Tuesday.
And I figured it would just sort of trickle through the week. And that's happened. But something brought it back to life for me today. It was John Gruden talking to Andy Reid. Because Gruden was doing like an Andy Reid sit-down kind of thing. Because I guess Gruden is calling the Chiefs game on Saturday. And there are some people going like, oh, but Gruden's going to get all Andy Reid's secrets. He's going to watch the Chiefs practice. And I don't think you need to worry about it. I think the worst case scenario from the meeting with Gruden and Andy Reid today is that John Gruden would have gotten enough inside information from Andy Reid to realize that Andy Reid is a better coach than he is. And then he would just stay in the booth and would not be out there for the Chiefs to walk all over for a few years.
Imagine if they swap places. Andy Reid doing the call and John Gruden coaching the team.
I would hate that doubly. I imagine that Andy Reid has more personality than we usually see, given the fact that he did a post-game press conference with Santa Claus.
You'd think.
I think it's there. But I don't know if I think of him as, like, you know, a color commentator. And I also don't think of John Gruden as a head coach. Listen to something that Sam Mellinger wrote a couple days ago about this Gruden situation. Oh, I guess I could read the internet. We haven't read the internet in a long time around here. By the way, Sam Mellinger in general, his last Mellinger Minutes in the Star, but you can read it on KansasCity.com, is fantastic the whole way through. It's like it was like his year end, whatever kind of thing. I actually don't even know what exact day it came out on the 2nd, which was what, two days ago? I don't have my watch for some reason. I don't know where I put my watch,
yeah,
but I don't have it. And that's where I usually look to see what the date is. Thank you for letting me know today's the 4th. I barely remember that today was Thursday.
Don't worry. We both had that issue.
But it's Mellinger Minutes. It's Happy New Year, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs playoffs, Royals building. And he said some great stuff about Mahomes we could talk about in a little bit. But he also talks about John Gruden. And for that reason, I would like to read the internet.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
From Sam Mellinger on John Gruden. I believe Chiefs fans should be fully on board with this. Gruden has not coached in 9 years. He's fun on broadcasts, and his quarterback camps are great, and somewhere along the line, he's turned down enough jobs that he's become the sort of white whale for a lot of football fans. There's nothing an out-of-work coach can do to improve his reputation more than take a broadcast job, and for nearly a decade, he's had one of the highest-profile broadcast jobs available. He hasn't lost a single game, hasn't called a single bad play. I say this with all respect for him because I do think he's a good football guy and was a good coach. But do you know how much harder you have to work as a head coach than a broadcaster? Do you know, as Therese Paylor, I add parenthetically, pointed out to us last night, that Gruden's offense, his last year of coaching, did not include any shotgun? That's the conclusion of me reading the internet for this particular moment. Did you know that Gruden's last year of coaching, he didn't use any shotgun? That's insane! And Mellinger, you know, talks about also it's a flawed roster and a quarterback that was exposed in 2017 and other issues. But I do not fear John Gruden, a man who hasn't coached in 9 years. And I also, and Mellinger makes this point as well, I understand thinking, well, maybe he learned a lot in all of his years watching the game since then and all of that. But I'm not buying that this is going to reshape the AFC West. The Chiefs are still going to have the best head coach in the AFC West by the same margin they did this year and the year before. This does not fear me. That's true. The Raiders don't fear me. That's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is this does not scare me. This does not scare me, and John Gruden does not fear me. Both of those statements are equally true.
Does John Gruden know you exist?
No. God, no. But how could he fear me if he doesn't know I exist? If he knew I existed, then I would have to say that with less certainty. Because maybe he would just secretly fear me. Because of how well I can say serpentine.
And dry hand turkeys.
Okay, so let's play the game really quick. When I say John Gruden, what pops into your head first? I've got three distinct things, I think. What was yours? Is yours him making hand turkeys?
Mine's probably just like his voice in general.
Right.
He's got a very distinct voice.
So whenever I say John Gruden, your first
hand
thought
is up there,
is Frank Caliendo.
Sure.
So for me, it's Serpentine and bad hair and
yes.
a visor.
Yep.
Also, I think Levitard had this first. I know. I get it. I reference Levitard every other show. But it's a good point. So Mark Davis found the second worst hair in football and brought it into head coach's team. Like, you know what? No, not eh. What do you mean eh? Who has worse hair than John Gruden other than Mark Davis?
McAdoo.
It's poorly managed. But it's not embarrassing. Also, not in the NFL anymore.
That's true.
Whenever you think McAdoo, you think like, oh, he's trying too hard.
That doesn't help.
No, does not help. It's not good. But at the same time, not the worst hair. Mark Davis has truly abysmal hair.
No, that's not good.
And John Gruden has a real disaster up there. How did we get here? Oh, yeah, John Gruden. By the way, the stuff going on in the NFL with head coaches right now, I'm thinking we're going to have missed somebody. And Mike Mularkey might end up being on this list soon also. But there are a few specific stories here with things that have happened or not happened with NFL head coaches in this last week or so that is completely just mind-blowing to me. Hugh Jackson is 1-31 in his last two seasons. I'm pretty confident that if I was the head coach of the Browns, I could have won one game. Right? Is that arrogant? I mean, is that silly? And I'm not saying it's because I would have thought of something that Hugh Jackson didn't think of. I'm saying because I don't think that you can run out an NFL team and have it play 32 games and never win one. That seems literally impossible. So he won one game, and we called it good. So Hugh Jackson is still a head coach of the NFL. Bill O'Brien is being kept. Apparently, there was some sort of ultimatum about he or the GM leaving, and the GM ended up taking time off because his wife like has breast cancer or something. And this is what it takes for Bill O'Brien to hold on to his job. This is the worst. The worst. The GM is taking like a leave of absence. Bill O'Brien's like, well, I guess I'll just stick around. The guy who started Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson is going to be back next year to reap the rewards of having Deshaun Watson for the next decade. That is a well-deserved job that Bill O'Brien holds on to. I'm so annoyed with Bill O'Brien. Also, the Packers are making a change at GM. The GM's like taking a step back in the organization. They're going to bring in somebody else to be the general manager.
And they fired like every coach except the head coach.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Is that true?
Almost.
Okay, I missed that.
They've let go of a bunch of different coaches.
And Mike McCarthy, untouchable God, Mike McCarthy. He will be there for the rest of time. Just for eternity. Again, well deserved. Because he has Aaron Rodgers. Also, remember that the Packers totally could have signed Colin Kaepernick and then Aaron Rodgers would have come back for the playoffs and they would have probably, like, I don't know, won the Super Bowl or something. Remember how it was like, at least that was a conversation, but they were happy with Brett Hundley. Mike McCarthy said they were happy with their quarterback room. And then their quarterback room pooped the bed.
And I think their quarterback coach was one of the guys they let go.
Sure. Why not? He wasn't the guy propping up Aaron Rodgers. You said you were happy with your quarterback room, and then you missed the playoffs because you're stubborn. You can't reward that guy. You can't reward that guy. Ugh.
Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, quarterback coach.
I completely missed this.
Yeah.
Really? They gave McCarthy a 2-year extension, by the way.
Everybody else, though?
Gone. Like, what is that? Everyone in the organization, except for your head coach, you're going to give McCarthy a chance to handpick everybody again? Hey, listen, he'll look great next year because he'll have Aaron Rodgers back. So annoying. And Chuck Pagano got fired, which is a loss for all of us. Just because I want to hear him talk in press conferences. I'm going to go with the Frank and Mac attack. Mac and Frank, Frank and Mac, Mac and Cheese, Mac, Frank and Mac and Cheese. You like that? I don't like that. I just made it up. Frank and Mac attack. That was almost verbatim something that Chuck Pagano said in a press conference. I'm not kidding. I miss him already. Also, the Colts are going to take Dave Tober or Matt Nagy. It's going to happen. I'll be sad, but it'll probably happen. Although, somebody made the point on Twitter. It might have been Seth Kaiser. I don't remember. Made the point that that's kind of funny how quickly Matt Nagy went from a nameless, faceless man to a can't-lose piece of this offense. And Doug Peterson, you know, people were worried about him leaving and the offense was still good here. This year, overall got better with Kareem Hunt. I understand what you're doing there. I understand saying, well, what are you really afraid of? What are you, do you think this offense is, you think Andy Reid's not going to find another guy to help him out? No, of course he will. But the reason that I am a little bit worried about the Chiefs losing Matt Nagy is that the offense had died. The offense had died on the table, and the Nagy was given some more power, did some more things, and it got better. I don't want to have to go through that process again next year. I would like for there to be some consistency with Reed and Nagy, but it doesn't seem terribly likely. It seems like it's probably going to be another cycle through. And maybe next year it's Brad Childress. I don't know. Childress has been in the organization now for a long while. He was a co-offensive coordinator with Nagy last year, and then they moved Childress to another position, and Nagy became the full-time coordinator. Maybe they'll elevate someone else. There were reports also, and this is something else really interesting. There were reports that Nagy really liked Mitchell Trubisky and that the Chiefs really liked Mitchell Trubisky. I would pay a substantial amount of money, substantial for me, to
$10.
$14. Which is, hold on, can I get some music for doing some quick math for the sake of a joke? Thank you. Let's see, 14 times 16. No, I don't need times 16. It's 100. Let's see, but I say $14. Do 14 divided by maybe like 24 cents. 58 packs of ramen. I would bet nearly 60 meals of my choosing, being ramen. I would pay nearly 60 meals worth of money on ramen to know the Chiefs' big board going into the draft last year. Also to know, honestly, what Brett Veach's would have been, because I'm sure his is different. To know Reed's and Nagy's and John Dorsey's and Brett Veach's.
Nathan Peterman.
Right. I want to know if they had Nathan Peterman, if any of them had Nathan Peterman over Patrick Mahomes. I would pay through the nose $14 to have that information. I would pay double that if I was the only one that was given that information, and then I could release it and get lots and lots of those good retweets, because that is the currency on which I truly survive. You might think, well, don't you need that ramen to eat? Isn't that where you need to get your nutrition? Not necessarily. Not if I'm getting retweets that week. Anyway.
Trade those into your local internet bank.
Yeah.
For
that's
2 cents.
That's kind of how it works. Like, eventually you get enough of a following and you can, you know, monetize that, I think. So I've been told.
I don't know how that works.
I also...
It changes every day.
That's true. Anyway, I've wondered for a while. We know that the Chiefs had Mahomes over Deshaun Watson. But I'm curious if Trubisky was the consensus number one quarterback out of that draft. Because he went, you know, 7 spots higher than Mahomes. And I know there are plenty of people that would have preferred Watson over Mahomes. And Mitchell Trubisky looks like he'll probably be an okay quarterback. I don't think I've seen anything from him to make me go like, ooh, yeah, that guy.
Didn't everybody kind of laugh at the Bears for that one, though?
Actually, no, the reason they laughed at them, I think, didn't they trade up 1 spot to get him?
Maybe. Yeah, that might have been true.
Because, you know, I said 7 spots because Mahomes went 10. I think Trubisky actually went 2nd. I think the Bears had the 3rd pick and then traded up to the 2nd.
I think that sounds right.
You got to have that music just constantly ready. You have to have it constantly in a cart for moments like this.
I only have 3. That's the problem.
Yep. Yeah, he was drafted 2nd overall, but the Bears had the 3rd pick. But yeah, I think it's perpetually fascinating. And it would be supremely fascinating to just know if the price to go get Trubisky was too high, if that's why they settled for Mahomes, or if it was just so close that they said, you know what, we're splitting hairs. Mahomes is 2nd by a little bit. We'll go ahead and save that value. Or if they said Mahomes is the guy.
Also, Trubisky on the range doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Oh, it's the worst. You would have to do something like Trubisky in the sky with diamonds. That's pretty good, right?
Not as good as Mahomes on the range.
Not as good, but I just came up with Trubisky in the sky with diamonds. Mitch in Trubisky.
Nah.
With diamonds. I've been watching too much Beat Bugs.
The banana slug would fit right in.
Oh, he would? Oh, the banana slug would save that
Renee
show.
Actually commented, I think that slug's cousin is on Beat Bugs.
Yeah, that's a great point. By the way, if you're just listening to the Chiefs versions of this show, which you can do through the Roughing the Kicker feed, go back and listen to the first 30 minutes of yesterday's Almost Entirely Sports, which is what you're currently listening to, technically, and you can hear me explain what the hell Beat Bugs are. It's worth it, I promise. But I do wonder all that about those quarterbacks. My best guess, I knew more about Mahomes and Deshaun Watson going into the draft than I did about Mitch Trubisky. Because I had actually seen Deshaun Watson play college football, and I was infatuated with the way Pat Mahomes played football. Trubisky kind of struck me, and this might be unfair, don't at me. It's kind of struck me as kind of a stiff. It's like, oh, great, he's one of those he's a big, tall pocket passer that I'm sure will make some, although he's only 6'2". So that's, he's not even that. But he sort of struck me as one of those guys who you fall in love with, you're like, oh, man, he can be a real pocket commander. Although he and Pat Mahomes are actually the exact same height, so I don't know why I assumed that Mitch Trubisky was taller. But I was always so much more interested in Mahomes and Watson. And then as I watched more leading up to the draft, Mahomes was the guy that I wanted to see Andy Reid work with. So today's show started about the playoff game, and somehow we ended up at a place where I was once again singing my songs of praise about what the future will look like. Also, Mellinger, as I mentioned, wrote some really interesting things about Mahomes. We might touch on that at some point. This isn't an Alex Smith thing, by the way. It's just that I'm out of things to say about the Titans. I burned through all of those in, what, 45 minutes? We had a good 45 minutes of here's what you need to know about
very
the Titans.
Sportsy.
Very sportsy.
Very sportsy, especially for us.
Yeah.
It was almost like a normal sports show.
How dare you? Wash your mouth out with soap right now. Go to the break room. Go to the break room and just squirt some hand soap in your mouth and just gargle that until the show's over.
I feel like that would be bad for me.
It would. It's bad for me to hear you call this a normal sports show.
I said almost.
Still upsetting. Anyway, you can't possibly complain about not having enough Titans preview. There's nothing else to know. I told you everything that I knew, and then we called, like, the guy who would know things about the Titans, and then he told you everything, and it just made me sad for Titans fans.
I learned Eric Decker was a Titan.
Yeah! Where else are you going to get that kind of insight, huh?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
And then I say MVP Ness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Yesterday, I forgot to check in on the Facebook comments. Beards and I never discussed this, but I've always just sort of had this implied feeling that Beards would let me know whenever the comments start coming in. But this was, never discussed. But I checked them.
I do, though, for the most part.
Sometimes you do. I just checked them today, and I have a bunch of things going on. And some of them will need context, and some of them won't. Like Cameron commenting, I like cheese and Chiefs. I don't have a clue what that came from, but I also like those things. So I feel like this is the spirit of the show. Thomas says he likes couches and Chiefs. Also accurate. Michael, though, has asked an important question. Beard spends a large portion of the show, especially whenever I'm talking to someone else. Beards will be on his phone. And Michael has asked, is Beards playing Words with Friends on Tinder, data mining Bitcoin? Beards contends that he's reading NBA news.
I was at that moment, yes. I've never played Words with Friends.
You did omit Tinder from the thing you just said, though.
I did. I don't have it anymore, though.
Oh, my God, we have to talk about this. When was the last time you were on Tinder?
Before I deleted it, like, probably a month or two ago.
A month or two ago?
No.
You were on Tinder while we were doing this show? We never talked about it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on! Why do you hate this show? How did it go?
Eh.
What does eh mean?
I found it useless.
It is. It's pretty intrinsically useless.
Completely.
But there's some, not completely. Because there is something, first of all, very addicting about just swiping yet left and right based off nothing but people's attractiveness. Maybe you'll click to view their whole profile and go, oh, okay, let's make sure, oh, you've included your astrological sign. No, thank you. But there's something genius about the entire invention of the app.
You open up their profile and it's, oh, that same quote that literally 10,000 other people have used.
Right.
Yeah. I'm original, I swear.
Right. I have an anchor tattoo on my nose because I refuse to sink. That kind of thing. You just said, wow. And then it marked that on the recording. I don't know why that was a wow, but I heard you say wow through the glass. But what extent did this tendering get to?
Nothing.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
That's not true. Were you Napoleon Dynamite, like, chatting with hot babes?
Basically nothing.
Can we make another Tinder for you And then myself and everyone listening now can help, like, write your bio and everything.
That's a scary thought.
Well, like, we'll also, we can write the replies and stuff for you also.
That's an even scarier thought.
Let your love life be determined by almost entirely sports. Coward. I think this is the future. I think we need to make this happen. This would be great for the show. You seem hesitant, and I can't figure out why. I cannot think of a single reason that you could...
I can't either. It's really strange.
Realistically be hesitant here.
Yeah, there's a giant voice in the back of my head screaming, "No!"
There's a giant voice in front of you into a microphone yelling, "Yes! Do it!" Also, Michael wants to play another game of taking screenshots whenever I'm looking up at the TVs. It just looks like I'm staring at the sky, though. We should take screenshots of me looking up into the sky and then put like a word/dream bubble above it and have a competition who can figure out what I am thinking. The best suggestion so far that Michael had was to Photoshop Patrick Mahomes onto Kylo Ren in that scene from The Last Jedi.
I want to make a rule about that, though, where it's no Patrick Mahomes stuff. Because that's too obvious. That's an easy answer.
If someone would Photoshop Patrick Mahomes' face onto Kylo Ren, that would be funny.
Sure.
And then it's over.
Yes.
Then the category is
closed.
That's
the one you get.
Yeah. Thomas says that Chris Collinsworth is a color commentator, so anyone can do it. I think Chris Collinsworth is an underrated or overhated commentator. I'm not sure which one that actually is. Collinsworth says things during the broadcast where it actually makes you realize that you missed something that you thought you had realized. And I think that's an extremely valuable part, and maybe the most valuable part of, like, the whole job. So I'll defend Chris Collinsworth. But there are plenty of terrible color commentators. Also, Clinton has started commenting things that just make no sense unless you realize what I realized whenever he sent me a screenshot of himself watching Beat Bugs last night. He said, "Help, I'm stuck in a jar and there's a nightmare with a moon face. With a moon for a face. Or a nightmare moon with a face, excuse me. Scare into my trippy diamond eyes while I kidnap your children." These are Beat Bugs related things, not Unabomber threats. Also, we have to have a Banana Slug / Beat Bugs crossover episode as soon as possible.
It might be the greatest worst thing ever invented.
It would be up there, for sure. I mentioned earlier that I'm going to be doing the show from Menards tomorrow, and this was funny, so you get to hear it again. If you didn't hear it yesterday, you hear it now for the first time. Fantastic. I figured out that I'm doing the show from Menards tomorrow from 4 to 6. If you want to come by, say hi, save big money, all that good stuff. So after this was figured out we were going to do this, I was asked to record a little 30-second promo thing. If you're listening over the air, you've heard that during the show at some point today. The problem was, as I was trying to do the promo, I found out that I'm very bad at doing promos. And then Beards saved the entire session and has whipped up a little something with it. I think you're going to get most of the information you need, though, in this blooper reel. So I hope you enjoy my pain. Hey, this is Joshua Briscoe from Almost Entirely Sports, and this Friday, I'm going to be at Menards in Olathe. I'm going to be broadcasting live from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Menards. Come out, stock up, and save this week during Menards' winter sale. Keep your windshield clean with Splash Automotive products, Splash Ultimate Windshield Wash, cleans your windshield, leaving a streak-free shine. I feel like Stu Gatz because I'm reading this for the first time and I recognize it partway through. Damn it, damn it, damn it. Keep your windshield clean with the Splash Automotive products, Splash Ultimate Windshield Wash. Cleans. Come out to Menards and stock up and save this week during Menards' winter sale. Nope. Good, Ben, you can figure it out. Come out to Menards, stock up, and save this week during, I'm trying to, like,
improv it and stick to the script, and it's just not working.
Well, then maybe you should just stick to the script.
But the script isn't... It says Will B-E.
No, then you have to leave.
It says join Joshua Brisco. I'm not going to speak about myself in the third person like I'm Reggie Jackson. Hey, this is Joshua Briscoe from Almost Entirely Sports. Come join me Friday at Menards in Olathe because I'm I'm doing the little drummer boy now. I like that this is also going to have the music track of the wind tunnel above us. It's very exciting. I'm doing a windshield cleaner product commercial right now. Hey, this is what was that sound you made? You had an apple in on your neck. Hey, this is Joshua. What was that? What was that? Hey. Oh my God. Don't use the one where I said, please. I need to make my family still think I don't curse. Find these and other. Mm-mm.
Hey, big money.
Oh, we should sing it. We should sing it. Ready? Hold on, we'll bring it around.
Save big money at Menards.
Find these and other big savings at Menards, your home improvement store. That was first try.
Bleep you, Beards. So that's where I'm going to be tomorrow. Singing the jingle in and out of every break.
I won't be, though. I'll be here.
Right. Beards will be here because that's how the show airs.
Poorly.
Although it would almost make more sense to have you also go out there. And, why don't you go out there and I'll stay here? You'll just be there just to shake hands, kiss babies.
Sure.
Though it would make more sense to have you also come out and then we would just see if like someone else could run the board for it. But maybe they would mess it up. It wouldn't work.
Yeah, whatever.
It wouldn't work. It'll be interesting. We'll probably have a guest or two to join us tomorrow as well. I haven't talked to Seth in a couple weeks, and he is as excited about Patrick Mahomes as I am. Speaking of which, can we read the internet again? Can we? I know it's usually not a good sign whenever we've read the internet twice in one day, but I promise you it's worth it. I promise you it's going to be good. Let's read the internet one more time.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
Going back to Sam Mellinger one more time. He opened up the mailbag, and someone tweeted him and said, so is Mahomes the guy next year? Case closed, right? This is Mellinger's response. Pretty much, yeah. For most of the year, Therese has had this running joke where he impersonates Andy Reid, listening to Mahomes as the starting quarterback. Listen, this has nothing to do with how I feel about Alex. It's a great bit, but here I am telling you that going to Mahomes in 2018 is not a knock on Alex Smith. Smith has been great this season. He was atrocious for two games, the losses to the Giants and Bills, but has otherwise been so efficient and effective that he still leads the league in passer rating. You can make your captain check down jokes, but he has 38 passes of more than 25 yards this season. Tom Brady and Drew Brees have 39 each. They're the only ones with more, and they each threw three more interceptions than Smith. Smith has been great, is what I'm trying to say here. Not good, great. He's been the best version of himself, even making plays outside the pocket, staying dangerous with his legs, and doing a million subtle things to help the Chiefs have one of the most productive offenses in the league. But, barring something truly drastic, Mahomes has to be the guy in 2018. Zip ahead a little bit. But they're going to be... Mellinger says they're going to take a step back in a couple of places. They're not going to challenge the NFL record for fewest turnovers. But they're going to be more dangerous, Mellinger writes. Because as good as Mahomes was against the Broncos, and he was really damn good, it's no small thing that he was playing without Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, most of the starting offensive line, and Kareem Hunt for all but five snaps against a good and accomplished defense. To review, he'll have 8 more months, including a full offseason as number one quarterback, and legitimate weapons we still haven't seen him play with. He later says, if you need a tiebreaker in Mahomes versus Smith, $17 million in salary cap space is more than enough. That can buy a lot. That could buy another cornerback, an edge rusher, a defensive lineman, maybe even more offensive line depth. And you'd be selling high on Smith. Maybe you can get a second round pick. The Chiefs will need picks. He goes through and talks about how he's been high on Alex Smith. He loves Alex Smith. But the Chiefs are better off with the cap space, the draft pick, and the talent. Mahomes changes everything, most of it, for the better.
It's very exciting. Woo! And the points all throughout there of the things on that we saw on last Sunday were things that we were talking about here on Tuesday. But it makes me feel good to hear Sam write that, because I feel less like I'm taking crazy pills. The cap space, the draft pick, this elevates the roster in a way that this roster could really use it. What's on your TV right now, Beards?
A Domino's commercial. Now it just changed to the Old Spice.
Oh, you're not watching it. ESPN2 has that commercial about IBS that you were showing me a couple days ago.
Oh.
It's on live TV in front of me right now.
The equivalent of one of our ED ads?
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome.
There's a woman in a tan bodysuit with intestines on the front following the other woman around because she has irritable bowel syndrome. Sorry for the distraction. I'm not sorry for the distraction. That's the show. But all of the things that can come with letting Alex Smith walk next year or trading him away next year, plus the offseason of Mahomes being the starting quarterback, with the things that we saw on Sunday, and maybe most importantly, with the things we haven't gotten to see yet, you've just got to have it. And also, I think you can make an argument, and this is something that we'll talk about, you know, in the early offseason. I don't know what the argument for sticking with Alex Smith is unless this team makes a Super Bowl. Because if you think that he's going to have a better year next year than he did this year, I don't know that you can make that argument realistically. I can't. And if you think he'll have the exact same year next year that he did this year, and they still can't get past the Steelers and Patriots, then I just have to kind of shrug and go, well, we're kind of where we were already, right? What if Alex Smith wins the Super Bowl? What then? What's his trade value then? Oh my goodness, can you imagine that off season? Ugh.
I'm gonna steal a quote from a caller we had earlier in the week.
Okay.
Eliminate the issue.
Right. Earlier in the week, though, that was in reference to killing Bill Snyder's son. But I don't know if it does. I don't know if it will eliminate the issue. There's so many variables and so many moving parts that a bunch of those conversations would still have to happen. The place where this conversation would get the most complicated would be if the Chiefs beat the Patriots or Steelers and then lose to the other one in an AFC championship game. So say they beat the Titans, beat the Patriots, and then lose at the Steelers in the AFC championship game. The season would be a success. But I don't know if you would sign up for another season of exactly this. That's where it would become messy. I don't think it's going to get there. They'll probably lose to the Steelers or Patriots whenever that happens. We can also take a look at how this all unfolds. The Chiefs are the highest seeded. No, that's not true. I've lied to you. I was going to lie to you. The Jags are the 3 seed. I think. Oh man, now I'm questioning everything. This was also so ingrained. Thank you. This is also ingrained in my head. And then the freaking Ravens lost. Threw it all off. Also, the Chiefs would have just taken care of business against those terrible New York teams. This would all be simpler.
Jaguars are the 3 seed.
Thank you. And the Patriots are the 1 seed. What are you looking at? Where are you seeing this? I'm having such a hard time finding this somewhere.
The score app on my phone.
Oh, God. Okay. I'd like the internet to have that somewhere, if possible. I should be able to search NFL seeding and have that show up somewhere, please, internet. CBSSports.com has a playoff bracket. Great. Here was the point that I wanted to make.
the Chiefs are the 4 seed and the Jags are the 3 seed, but if the Chiefs and Jags both win this week, then the Chiefs would go to New England and the Jags would go to Pittsburgh. If the Chiefs win and the Bills beat Jacksonville, then the Bills would go to New England and the Chiefs would go to Pittsburgh. For some reason, I just needed to see that in front of me in a bracket, I guess, before my brain could fully comprehend what I was saying. And I would rather the Chiefs play at New England, by the way, at this point, just because we've seen them do that this year. I don't want to see them play the Steelers, if at all possible. But the only way they will play the Steelers is if the Bills beat the Jags, which is slightly plausible. Although LeSean McCoy right now looks like he might not play this weekend, and that would be a pretty big loss. And the playoff bracket's interesting. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. But the two NFC teams are the first round by a quarterbacked by Nick Foles and Case Keenum, and that's kind of amazing. It also means there's going to be unbelievable heartbreak for probably both of those teams. I mean, home field advantage for both of those teams is obviously pretty important, but the Rams, Saints, Panthers, and Falcons are the other teams in the NFC. I think all of those teams are better than the Eagles right now with Nick Foles, and maybe also all better than the Vikings, because I just don't trust Case Keenum. Also, Alex Smith is the third best quarterback in the AFC playoffs right now. And that's wild.
You mean fourth? Patrick Mahomes.
Sorry, good point. Third best starting quarterback. Thank you for catching me on that. But he would probably be the fifth best quarterback in the NFC side of the playoffs, which is also totally bonkers. I whispered that so I wouldn't get attacked on Twitter, but I don't think it's going to work.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'll say this. I will say this confidently. This world needs more revenge pooping. And less gun violence.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad someone said it. Very brave of me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Beers informed me earlier today that apparently there is a revenge pooper copycat.
Of a copycat.
There was a specific detail that stuck with me, unfortunately, was that there was a soiled paper towel left at the scene in the car handle?
On the second day.
Mike Kliss tweeted that the Broncos have reached agreements with Mike Sullivan from the Giants as quarterback's coach. Curtis Modkins is from the Bears as running back's coach. The Broncos bringing in the Giants quarterback's coach. Do you know what that might but probably doesn't mean?
They'll still be bad?
Well, that also. But maybe also the Broncos are just going to be the farm where the Mannings go to live out their last years. If Eli likes that quarterback's coach, that might be a help in hooking him in. Sorry, I got distracted because they're just Donald Trump's been tweeting so much recently, and they've been like it's just now, just something about just a lot of words, and then build the wall in all caps, and then more things. And I'm not reading it for comprehension right now. I'm just doing the show, but it just pops up. He's tweeting about his big nuclear button.
I did like that one. I did like my button is bigger than yours.
I feel like this is not a political statement for me to make. I wish the president wouldn't fight with a evil dictator about the size of their button. Their buttons.
It's better than actually doing it, though.
But that's what this leads to!
You ever see the videos of, like, the dogs that are fighting each other and they're on their chains or whatever, and then the chain breaks and they both are just like, oh. Never mind.
Yes.
There was another one I saw. It was like there was they were between a fence.
Uh-huh.
And the fence, it was an electric fence, and it was kind of retracting backwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just yapping and yapping and yapping at each other. And there was like, there were four dogs on one side and like one on the other. And then just as the gate actually started to open and they realized what was going on, they were just like, I'm going to leave now. And they just all walked away.
That's what we're witnessing on an international scale now.
Yeah.
Great. Eventually, there's going to be, again, I don't think any of this is even politically charged at this point. I think I'm good here, you guys. There's eventually going to be a documentary that's going to come out in like 2047 about the White House janitor that saved the world by sneaking under the president's desk and just snipping the wires on the nuclear launch button. And because of that man's brave action.
Unless that's what accidentally sets him off.
That's the other problem.
Yeah.
I did have that thought as I was saying that. As well, maybe if you cut the wire. That would be
bad, though. The world.
No, that would be bad, though. That would be a bad engineering choice. Because it's not a bomb. It's not like you're trying to disarm a bomb. You're just disarming the switch. Either way, there's going to be a documentary. Either about the janitor that saved the world or the one that nearly destroyed it. The documentary will have to be made by cockroaches.
It'll be called Damn It, Jim.
Man, I had something else I wanted to talk about. Now the show is over. I feel like, really, the whole show just got distracted because I just, like, tweeting about the Broncos, scrolling to see if anything's new. Going to build the wall! Okay, fantasy football, Broncos. All right, well, that's, I guess, the show's over now, isn't it? Tomorrow from 4 to 6, we'll be out at Menards. Hopefully the show will be good. We'll do our best. That's all you can ask for, really, isn't it? All right, Beards, I'm going to come write you a Tinder bio. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.